Hello, my name is Nicole Grimm.
And I'm Ben Rocky.
And this is Mayhem and Misfits, where we take a fun look at business gone awry and the systems that save them. Today we're going to talk about IT service management.
Or what I like to call the old say what you're going to do and then do what you say plan.
Wow, that's a lot of words. We could boil that down into a title of some sort. But before we get into that title of the service management we're actually going to talk about, we should talk about IT service management as it relates to service management as a whole. In plain terms, service management is the process and practice of organizing flows and work to fulfill the needs of customers.
That's good. Yep.
Yeah. Every business or organization practices service management in one way or another, even if they don't slap that label on it or call it that or wave some service management flag.
Yeah, I think a way to look at it is, let's say, for example, you sell strawberry plants, and the process of planning your yields to have enough plants to sell and the sales process to your customer and the delivery of the plants and the customer service to handle issues of plant quality and delivery and billing, all that together is a service management process. Relative to the size of your team and customer base, the service management plan can be really simple or it can be really complicated. If you have a team of 10, they're not going to do the same amount of work that a team of 100 is going to do. A business can only set tasks and goals that they're able to sustain.
Right. It's all relative to scale, an example, right? In the IT world or information technology world and industry, it's common for an IT team to think of themselves as a business serving the business or a business within the business, at least to some maturity standard. And this would be when you have an IT team per se. So you may not quite see this work out in one-off situations if you have like an individual person supporting in an organization.
Yeah, one person,
right?
Or somebody whose job is doing something, and then in addition to the thing they do, they're also in charge of making sure all the computers work.
Right. We've seen that many times where they don't have an IT department, an internal resource, but they can, you know, make it work in their spare time, if you will. So in an IT framework or department or some mature organization of some sort, they're going to see themselves reflected as this servicing engine to serve the business need. They are responding to their business needs. So their customer base is the user community, their business partners, what have you. They have their own little bubble to service them as a whole. Most of the time, in that department, internal department structure, they wouldn't necessarily be supporting external customers.
Yeah, they're a business inside the business.
Right, for the most part. Now, you would maybe have the areas where those businesses that it's kind of confusing to figure out if they are a technology company or a widget company. In those spaces, you might see a blurred line between servicing external customers and the internal business.
Yeah, if your business is highly technical, it's not uncommon to see everybody on the same team. But for most businesses, the IT team, the IS team is working in support of the business, not as a component of the business.
In an internal support organization. So in that case, and I might even throw in an idea here, that if you are in a space where it is confusing to figure out if you're a technology or a customer-centered or a widget-centered business, you may find the need for actually labeling this a service organization and putting solid frameworks around it even more important. Because if you are actually facing the external customer and delivering to them technical items or technical support or technical infrastructure, anything like that, as part of the product offering, then having a service management is even more crucial. A lot of times people might say, well, internally, if we have problems or we haven't really matured our process to become better with servicing the internal business. Well, we can kind of get away with it a little bit more because it's just inside baseball issues, yeah. Right? Right. So this should benefit, this topic should benefit both situations, the more common situation of being internal, by developing more business value right away and seeing that return on investment. And if you are in a space where your IT department does externally face, then this should be even more important of a topic to follow. So given that caveat and that framework to operate from, we'll jump into what is it that we are actually talking about in this specific case? What's the label, the title, and the dive in that we're going to go into? In this case, we're actually talking about a particular subset called FITSIM.
Yeah. So, well, maybe we should start with why we even care about this. So FITSIM, which we'll discuss in a moment, is a kind of IT service management, ITSM. And what ITSM represents is what we've been talking about, a way to manage and control and run the IT needs of your company, whether you have an IT department or you have an MSP and certain people in charge of managing them. Having a process makes it way more effective to know that you can trust in those systems. A good example of why it matters is something that brought about why FITSIM was created in the first place. So the origin of that goes back to 2000. And in the European Union had come to the conclusion that they were kind of lagging behind Japan and the US with technology advancements. And one of the things they identified was, you know, in Japan and in the US, they've done a really good job of bringing all of their universities and institutes and laboratories into these cohesive working groups where they could work on scientific problems together. So we should do the same thing across countries and across universities. And so they established something called the European Research Area. And the goal was, let's all work together to take full advantage of all the resources we have. Well, as you'd expect in something that's scientific and very technical, there's normally a lot of integration of systems that's required. So there's a lot of different computer and IT systems and database systems and different technical software that's being used in all these different environments. But now they have to be used across all these different environments. So each laboratory or university is now being called upon to share information with others. And most of that's going through the IT teams or IT people who are responsible in some very small organizations up through very large university level IT departments. And what was happening was a lot of struggle in communication, not just with, you know, languages from say Spain to France, but actually talking about, hey, I need you to think about how you guys are handling your IT in this way, or hey, there's a problem, but I don't know how to explain it to you, or we're not using the same kind of vocabulary to explain these problems, and things are getting lost in translation, literally. So a team was put together who said, team, here's your job. You were kind of the heads of all these major universities. You need to come up with a way that all the IT teams can work together and we can keep a handle on these requests that are coming through for work to get done and these problems we're having with making sure things are available when they need to be available. We need like standards and just a way to talk to each other. And so the group got together and they said, well, we could try to come up with something new, but really there's already a standard out there called ITSM that we can follow, IT service management. It's based upon some processes and it's some workflows you need to follow to run your IT team. And it incorporate something called ITIL, which is a library of rules and conditions that, and a very bulky way of managing and rules to follow and bureaucracy you can follow inside your department. For large organizations, it makes a lot of sense because it gives everyone the same playbook to play from. But what this group understood was that there was also some very small organizations that were going to have to be asked to follow those rules. And it wasn't something they can do. To ask a team of two or three IT people to take on the adopting the full suite of ITSM rules and ITIL rules and do their job at the same time. So the group said, okay, let's take a step back. What are the critical things we need to do to make sure we're solving this problem of communicating with each other and making sure that when we request something, it doesn't get lost? And when I talk about certain terms, there's just terms that always matter, regardless of who we're talking to in the IT world. What can we do there? And so they sat down and stripped back ITSM to the most pragmatic form it could be, so they could start talking to each other and working with each other and have a set of rules that was equitable for everyone to participate in.
Right, from the smallest team upwards. So this is essentially the starting point for anyone who is foreign to this subject. This is where we would advise organizations to start if you've never done it before.
And you may see yourself in it if you have an organization where you don't have an IT team or the IT team you have today is small. What you might see if you look inside your organization, you may not be working with hundreds of other organizations. You're just working with yourself in your own departments, your own teams. But you may see yourself in this mayhem if the way that you handle work is every time I have a problem, I email Tommy, and Tommy or Betty or whoever your player to be named is, takes it. They're the one with the most experience, or maybe they're the IT person, and they'll do what they can to fix the problem, and they're managing their entire work through email. And sometimes it gets done on time. They're having to make their own judgments about what's important and what's not important. And they don't necessarily have any place to take that information once they've done something with it. You're probably not having regular meetings about how we can improve the environment we have. Betty may not know to you how, what even to bring up to whom, as far as, hey, I think I have an idea about how we can make things better. And more importantly than anything else, you may not be identifying problems, issues that are becoming problems that you see them so repetitively. There's a lot of just noise and anxiety of really the only thing our IT department does is I give a problem to somebody and it eventually gets fixed. And that's the extent of our management of the problem.
Right. A space where I would see that there is lack of service management, understanding, buy-in, trust of the entire process would be a typical example we would have from leadership level participants who ask us to engage their company would be, yeah, we have IT people, these people that go around and fix stuff. I don't really know what they do. They're gone a lot. Shoot, maybe they're not even here. I don't know. Sometimes I can find them and we fix stuff. And oh gosh, a lot of times I have to explain to them over and over again the same thing. Or this one programmer person that we have as a vendor on the back end constantly sends us complaints that he's telling these people again how to fix this thing and why aren't they recording it? And right, they should know. I told them once. I send them an email, a customer or a person may send them an email and it goes into this black box and things happen, I guess. I don't know. My computers come from various resources, maybe eBay, maybe any source. They're not consistent. Everyone has different computers. I have a sales guy that I hired and they gave him a desktop. Why would they do that? That's stupid. They're traveling all the time and I need my salespeople out there doing these things. So very confusing, inconsistent, not meeting a expected standard. That
very person driven.
Right. And mood. And I didn't know. I didn't have the information. Oh, I forgot that sticky note that told me how to fix that one problem that they told me about 3 months ago. I forgot. These kinds of things are all symptoms of the underlying problem, which is how are you going to manage this into a process for which you can build from? And one point we'll touch on later, continuously improve from.
Right.
So how can you build that foundation? So first things first, what is FITSM?
So what the EUA came up with was this lightweight version called FITSM. Now, what FITSM stands for is Federated IT Service Management. We're not going to get too down the rabbit hole, but the reason they call it federated was just the makeup of how they were set up. They were a federation of different organizations. So that's where the name came from.
They don't have ownership. It isn't an internal control. Their partners are different vendors, different areas of the university, different vendors, all different walks of life, right?
Right.
Different sizes, small, medium, large, all these different factors that come into it.
Right. The goal was, hey, all of you that make up this federation, here is a lightweight tool set that if we all follow, will make it easier for us to all work with each other.
Right. And for the bigger organizations, they may laugh at it, quote unquote, to some degree, like, oh, you only mean a quarter of the entire process we operate? Sure. And then the little guys that are coming in just learning, maybe they're like, oh, this is so awesome. I can totally follow this. So you have this blending and agreeance of this is a good place to start.
Right.
Everything else from there is just cherries and sprinkles on top. But at least we have a good Sunday to dig into.
Yeah. I mean, the point being, FITSM offers a version of service management that's just more accessible. And it's set up in a way that for your business, where maybe it's you have a person internally that does things, and maybe you have a development team that does work for your primary system that you put tickets in for and you have to track, and maybe you have a server or a cloud device that you have to maintain, and you may have an MSP that's handling your desktops and service management, which good chance both that development team and that MSP are probably following some form of ITSM. If you internalize FITSM, it gives you a platform to work with them more coherently as well. And in most experiences, you'll find that their response is, oh, this is great. If you guys are going to follow this playbook, it makes it easier for us to support you.
Right. We've all agreed.
And by the way, we have tool sets that if you're going to follow this process, you can use what we use for yourself. So it doesn't even take, even a lot of times it doesn't take any more investment on your part, because the partner you're working with may already have the tool set that aligns to these ideas about how to do work.
That's true. Some organizations that turned on this FITSM methodology internalized would have the opportunity to use their managed service provider's ticketing system. And they say, oh, well, all we have to do is give you access and you're going to know exactly how to manage content that we already manage. We're speaking the same language. Sure, you can jump on in. I would asterisk that is sometimes offered. We might have licensing concerns or things like that that MSP might bring up, but at least the opportunity of, oh, that you're going to speak the same language. We already have a world. Please come in the door, if you will, of how we kind of operate. And then you can give clarity to that black box, if you will, of
right.
Where does work go and how do I see it, report it, and understand it.
To do that, you have to adopt the ITSM, and in our case, the FITSM mindset. And so what is FITSM? FITSM is a set of vocabulary, a set of requirements, and a set of objectives that you will anoint someone to understand for your organization. It is not big. It should take maybe a day to soak it all in. It'll take longer to perfect it, but it'll take about a day to soak it all in. Once they've soaked it in, there are templates and there's guides that they can use to implement the best practices set up in FITSM, as well as an assessment tool to help gauge where you're at today and help you gauge yourself year after year so you can see areas of the process that you can improve upon.
Right. That would be perfect space, actually, too. It wouldn't it be nice to get like a graded report to say that you have nothing and now you have something and you can measure something against that?
Yeah. And it's a self-assessment. It's something you're using. It's you taking your own weight, if you will. You're doing it for you, so you know where you're at and you know what you can work on to get healthier, if you will.
Right, exactly. And then it takes these vocabularies, requirements and objectives and kind of, and this assessment is following along of a framework.
Yeah. Now, one of the low-hanging fruits, and I think almost everyone has had some experience of this at some point, put in a help desk ticket. Put a help desk ticket in. That's a pretty common phrase.
Well, but, it should be. Some places might just say, well, I just emailed somebody.
Right. That's the extent of putting a help desk yes. ticket in. So if the next step of putting a help desk ticket in should be that email or that phone call, or if you're lucky enough to have a system put in into, that is where you start to see where ITSM shows up.
I would say that I've seen this in publications before. I cannot articulate where the content is from, or this is not a literal measurement,
not quoting exactly.
Specifically. But I have seen that of the IT service management frameworks, 95 or 90% of organizations utilize the number one item they're utilizing from the framework is a ticketing system.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you are using a ticketing system, you're already on your path to service management.
Right, because you're tracking your work.
Right. If you don't have a ticketing system today, that is an indicator of even following it. And that's kind of one piece that many people could relate to in terms of what is service management? What do I get out of it?
Right.
The very first most common thing would be a ticketing system.
Right.
Easy to translate. If you have never seen one before, I'm sure others around you have. This is not going to be a large thing to, large hurdle to jump to get across the goal line, if you will, to get started.
Yeah. It is an important first step. It is a centerpiece or a cornerstone, however you want to begin your measurement, starting with actually just tracking the work. And that's for a lot of simple reasons. You want to make sure that the people or the person who's accountable for making sure the work gets done has a place to go to see what has to get done. And the people who are responsible for doing it have a place to work from. And that's just the first step. The second step that system gives you is if you're tracking it and you're keeping those task items in one place and you learn how to categorize them, you can start to run reports against that data. And one of the terms you'll learn is issue versus problem. So an issue is the help desk ticket. I have an issue and I put a ticket in. And that's some of the vocabulary you're going to learn from the FITSM framework. This becomes, so when you say issue, people who know the FITSM framework will go, oh, I know an issue is basically like a help desk ticket.
Or what the definition of an issue is. The underlying idea of an issue is.
And then you'll learn a term, problem. Well, issue and problem in that vocabulary are different. An issue is the ticket. It's some exception or some need occurred and I put in a ticket and that's the issue I have. A problem is when that issue reoccurs. So for example, there was a customer who about every 2 weeks, their office area where their core switch was at, where their internet comes into and their server is at, the power would just go out. It'd have a breaker trip. And it was repetitive, almost every 2 weeks, almost at 10:30 on Monday.
Right. So the idea is somebody's noticing this pattern, right?
Right. So you can run a report against it, right? So after the fifth time of, okay, whatever's causing the breaker to trip, it's always occurring about this time every 2 weeks. So what's happening that's causing this to trip? We should go identify that so it stops happening.
We should build some AI model that can watch this and tell you, we could just start by recording it.
Just record it and then, you know, run a simple filter on whatever you're using to go, this one.
Haven't we heard of this before?
This has occurred six times. Well, now you have a problem you can go solve. And in this case, they found out someone was doing some pressure washing. They were plugging into the same circuit every time. And it was causing
an overload
on that,
taking down the entire company.
They had a bad ground. And then all that pressure washer person was doing was just moved to another outlet.
Ta-da, fixed.
And you know, they would have moved out their day. And it just so happened that one outlet was connected to the same circuit as the server equipment.
Nah, that's a fun one.
But when you track these things and someone's paying attention to what's going on, and you can say, oh, this is happening routinely under these conditions, now you can take this reoccurring issue that's become a problem, solve the problem, and you remove issues.
Correct. So I think a obvious highlight to this whole thing is this is called IT service management. So only having a ticketing system for which no one is watching and no one is managing, you still will have this loop that is not closed. In this case, you needed someone to watch for this pattern, this reoccurring pattern over time, just capturing the ticket and not putting into this management framework, watching the overall shift of things and what's going on and patterns and all this kind of stuff. You're kind of missing a bit of the point. But if you do have this piece in there, someone assigned to it, what have you, you can close these loops and stop the silliness from happening. I think everybody could relate to stories like this in their area.
Yeah. So with that explaining of what FITSM is, why FITSM over any other process? Well, there's lots of reasons. The biggest one is there's no barrier to entry. It is open source. The cost to your team is your team's time to follow it.
Exactly. That's one of the best parts. This is freely available content
and
out
there. We'll have links in the show notes so that you can go to some of these resources. But the point is, if you want to do it, the only thing holding you back is doing it.
Right. It's all based off a common creative license, right? That people can download and get started and follow the assessments and work on the templates. And then there's also resources out there, trained individuals like ourselves or other organizations that they can go the extra mile and make sure that their team is actually educated, trained, tested, validated against these measures as well. So you can go from just do it in your DIY, if you will, all the way up to making sure your organization is actually committed to and tested against these standards.
Right. Now, to that point, when you are testing against these standards, there's other organizations that care about it that you work with. If you work with customers or distributors that have ISO regulations they like to follow, which means they also have to hold other members of their supply chain to certain standards, or, and almost every business I've worked with, you've worked with, we've worked with, has reflected this, insurance agencies who insure your business. There are standards you need to meet for insurance, and your insurance rates are directly rated against aspects of your IS department's support of your business. If you are indoctrinating ITSM and you follow FITSM, you're going to meet most requirements, if not all, that the insurance agency is requesting or these vendors are requesting, and be aligned ahead of them saying, so how do you guys back up your servers? Do you have any kind of security? If you're following FITSM, you'll have answered some of these questions early, and good chance you'll have already resolved them before you're having these conversations.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it ensures that you're speaking the same language and operating in standards business practices in this space. If you have any technology that you're using, this is an ideal place to start to answer to any of those needs. If you are distributing food products and that kind of thing, you're going to have a food safety officer. You should always have a framework too on distributing, sharing, or containing any kind of technical data. You may have those same obligations, different standards that you'd have for selling things and containing personal information, payment information, credit card information, all these things. You operate any of these kinds of activities, and you should have some concerns around this.
The extension of this is, as an organization, if you have started to make the decision that you want to have your business adhere to some standards, the ISO standard is very common. FITSM is compatible with ISO EEC 20000-1. So that's a component of several of the ISO standards that your company can integrate as a, you know, meet that requirement. With FITSM, the IS, if you will, components of your ISO requirements will be adhered to if you've adopted FITSM. Mm-hmm. Because FITSM is written in a way to to be compliant with ISO.
Right. They've essentially taken all the same frameworks and just said, what is the most critical to get started? Let's just go there. And then from there, you just keep upgrading and upgrading and upgrading into these higher level service management methodologies and frameworks.
Mm-hmm. More of the tangible to your business reasons for doing it is if you're following all of the FITSIM guidelines and you're doing your assessments and you're ensuring that you've written out what your sustainability needs are, how you would recover from a disaster, how much capacity you need to have, what the expectations are for system availability, a budget, who's accountable. Having all these things give you the ability to have a more stable environment because you're actually building against a plan as opposed to building against a feeling.
Right. So you know this black box of work that goes to technical parties has more light shed on it. You're able to watch what their management structure is. You understand, because there's a common language and a framework you've agreed to, how you can measure that. And that power washer incident in your example should just be solved as part of their normal cadence of work in this case. It won't necessarily be a screaming situation or a firefighting situation at that point where it's the 10th time it's happened and you have lost equivalent of $1 million now, where if they would have solved it the first three rounds, you'd only be $300,000 a loss in productivity or what have you, right? So it should have a return on investment in just that, knowing that this system has some management around it and those problems, incidences, issues, things like that, that develop into larger scale problems have a place for monitoring and correction and continuously improving so that those noises don't even make it to a higher level desk or make it to a higher level issue.
Right. And to that, it also gives those who are involved, whether it's your MSP or whoever your help desk or IT or IS or a programmer person is in-house, a process they can follow. So they're going to work more efficiently because they're not making it up every time. Instead of how should I handle this every time they get a request, it's this is how we handle this, and everyone knows that process. And there's a very clear path to follow every time, and everyone knows it.
Right. Or better yet, they know it the most, and your user community just needs to and easily could trust them.
And that's the key thing. That's what happens next, is it builds trust in the IT team and it builds trust in the systems. And that's really the biggest payout. If you adopt FITSIM and you follow it and you adhere to its guidelines and its suggestions and its practices, it doesn't just build a better, air quotes, IT team. It builds a better IT system because everyone will know how it's maintained. And if they, or the key people who know need to know how it's maintained will know how, which means the system will be more available, which means fewer issues and fewer problems for everyone and a higher degree of trust in the type of applications and systems you have that everyone needs to rely on to do their job of your business.
Mm-hmm. And ideally, your IT team will be a bunch of heroes running around and everyone's breathing well and calmly because they're just getting their work done. And best case scenario, it runs like such a smooth operating machine that you almost never hear a complaint. And your IT team is so bored because they have no outstanding huge issues to chase that all they can do now is deliver straight value to the business, continuously improve, and start churning a whole nother ball game of conversation into this, which is now what? What can we do to actually challenge the business to get better and go from there using the same methodology and same framework to not crawl, but run?
And that's something we can actually show an example of. So there was an organization that we work with in logistics. They were going through a big change. They had an upgrade that was underway. They had a person who had handled all their IT stuff for forever who was getting ready to retire. And they had never really even though their business highly relied on their core system running to do their job, they'd never established a very strong IT plan. They had an MSP that would take care of their technology, who'd come in and fix computers and make sure the servers were working. And they had somebody internally who understood the application, but none of it was working in conjunction with each other. There were no standards set. It was simply, there's somebody in charge of it, so don't worry about it.
Or we turned it on and it worked today. Why wouldn't it work tomorrow?
Right.
So how do I fix them?
Yeah. Well, I think the best way to tell that is to tell that as a story and the process one of our clients went through.
Oh, stories are always fun.
I hope so. I like the ending, though. So that's a good part of the
story. Of course,
story.
This is the misfit.
I know how the story ends, so that's a good thing.
And it's not ending, Ben. It's continuously improving.
That's continuous. You know what? You're right. This is a point-in-time story.
And it is still going, and that's what we're so proud of for this customer.
Yeah. So we have a logistics company that we work with, and moons ago, they were coming to a moment in time where the person that had been there for a long time was getting ready to retire. And that person had been there since kind of the beginning of the company and really knew their processes and was the person who brought in the system they used to run their company. They were very adept, but it was just a person. It was never a formalized IT position because that person also had a lot of other responsibilities on top of their day job of being, you know, if you will, a system administrator and developer inside the application. The company had an MSP that they were working with. It was handling their phone lines and their servers and the desktops and taking care of the business. But the MSP was kind of following their own program, wasn't asking a lot of this company of a process to follow. And there was always kind of a challenge with what will you take care of? What won't you take care of? Who should we call? How we should call? So just a kind of a lot of noise going on. And when this moment came up where the company saw this, okay, we have this opportunity to change. They said, well, if we have this opportunity to change, what do we need to do to make things better? And what we brought to them was, well, you should follow FITSM. Let's take FITSM as our model for how the business should be set up and go forward. So the first thing we need to do is someone in the business needs to say, this is what we're going to do. And that person needs to be the owner. So the owner rose their hand and said, yes, I want to follow a program and we're going to hire somebody. And that person who's replacing the person who's leaving, they're going to move forward with FITSM as their model to follow for our business, so that we can meet all these objectives and requirements and know that we're actually handling our IT department like we want to, even if it's just an IT department of one and these partners we work with.
Right. And the company has grown extensively from the initial person who's now retiring over that course of time.
So oh, yeah.
How can we handle the next generation, the next...
And whatever changes we want to make to level. Our business, right? Mm-hmm. So... In addition to this change with the person retiring, was also the business was trying to find other things they could do inside their business to attract new customers, grow their customer base. They were going to make changes internally to their own business, let alone to their IT team.
So they already kind of knew that they wanted to have a baseline of a working system for which that IT role was so bored that they were going to take on all these other things that were already put on their plate of right. advancements and future forward thinking ideas.
So the person that the company hired wasn't a traditional IT person. They were a person who really understood the logistics and business processes of a logistics company who was willing to take on their responsibilities, which was kind of a great fit because it was somebody who really understood the business and then also knew how to work with the vendors they had to meet the needs of the business. It was a great, great marriage.
I think that is a perfect point for our listening audience and most of the time in our customer base that they don't really see this huge demand for a lot of consumptive IT topics. So if they can get a jack of all trades, if they can squeeze one out of a resource and really stretch their budget, that's what they usually want to start with. Really honing in on getting a bunch of IT people to run around everywhere is not their sweet spot to start from. So right. If we can build this in, that is a perfect framework. And in this case, worked perfectly because you just have somebody who has a systems mindset but is more business inclined. This kind of framework is so easy to follow and adopt that you don't have to have an extensive IT degree to even start to think about this. It's common speak.
Yeah. And so when that person came on and as the other person was transitioning out, we started a process of collecting information, talking about what the business needed to worry about. The person that was getting ready to retire was absolutely included in, hey, what are the things that we have to worry about every year? Who handles this? Who handles that? Should we be getting somebody in charge of our printers? Because the printers seem like a big deal here. We should probably maybe find a way to make the printers more easy to handle. And so a decision was made, you know, we're going to get a printer provider who will come in and take care of the printers for us. And, you know, our MSP is doing a really great job with the phones, but we just need more support. Maybe we should look around and see, because now that we've started to just evaluate where we're at by going through this evaluation process, there seems to be a real gap in the support we're getting on certain sides. And and so, okay, we're going to do a little bit of research and see who else we could bring in. So the first provider stayed on for one component of the business, but then another provider was brought in for another component of the support business.
And that's an important point to mention, just because they had checked a box of, well, we have an MSP. We had found that the standard of care, if you will, from that MSP was below what we would expect. And in an assessment, it would give you those indications that there is a higher level of standard you should be expecting from these partners. Here's the level, so you can measure that against their delivered results.
One of the things that you'll find at MSPs are really responsive if you've taken a chance to assess yourself and say, we're really clear on what we have here, and we have a real clarity of what we need from you. And so here's what we have, and here's what we expect. And you'll find you'll have a really easy time talking to IT service providers outside your company if you come with an explanation of, we've already taken the time to kind of assess what we need, as opposed to, so you guys take care of IT so you can figure out what we need. And they'll tell you yes, because they want to make a sale. And because in general, they'll eventually get there because they're going to go through their own process of ITSM to meet your needs. But if you come in it early with a clear picture of, we've taken the time to figure out how long we can be down, what we expect of our systems, labeled all the systems we have a list of all the support numbers you have to call on our contracts, and we know we're up to date on all of our support contracts. That makes the MSP's job so much easier in being able to answer to what they'll need to help you and what it will cost to help you, as opposed to guessing.
And they know you're going to speak their language. You understand how this works. It's not starting from square one, right? We all have this agreed upon standard, and there's doesn't have to be as many surprises.
It also sets up those providers to know
that you're watching.
And
you know what the standard should be.
And so that's a part of the you know, how do I fit some, is step one is the business says we're going to do this. And so the owner says, yeah, we're going to follow a program, and this is the person who's going to be accountable for it, to making sure we're following the process. And so then that person takes the time to go through the FITSIM requirements, get an understanding of how the FITSIM process works, and then goes about starting to actually implement the guides, put a tracking system in place for issues, make sure we're actually writing down what our recovery plan needs to be, start to understand how much capacity we need for, how many documents are we saving every year? We might run out of hard drive space, or are we paying for enough cloud storage, or has anybody taken the time to make sure we're up to date on how many users we have coming and going? Maybe we're overpaying, maybe we're underpaying for what we use with this CRM tool or tracking tool or logistics tool. A lot of questions get answered that when you take the time to do the assessment, you can start making judgments against. Once those things are all in place, now that person who's accountable for actually the following the program can start to make educated assessments of what you need to do next or for the next year, because all of those things are being tracked.
And this is what the customer actually did?
This is what the customer actually did. And additionally, one of the guidelines of FISM, it says, and you're going to report on this back to the business, and the business is going to give you information so you know what to do. And so the business started holding monthly steering meetings where the heads of the department, the CFO, the president, the chief operating officer, and this person who took over the IT role would get together every month, talk about what's coming, talk about some of the business changes that might be coming and some software they need to look at to make that achievable. The IT person was able to say, hey, we have an update coming up. We're gonna have to like plan some downtime. I'm gonna need some people involved to actually test this new update before we go live with it. We have these charges that are gonna come with it. We need to all put these on a plan and have an assessment and understand that I know there's a lot we wanna do, but all these requests stack up. There's just me and our outside resources. Yeah. What gets put first? Because you take it, part of this FISM process is also taking all of this back to the business and saying, back to leadership and saying, this is what we're doing. What should we be doing? What else do we need to be doing?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Everyone can follow along. This is not uncommon for any other space like we started with.
Right. So I think that just brings us to, well, what do I do? How do I get started?
Where do I get started? So we'll start off with three basic steps to even kick this off. First and foremost, as you mentioned for that poster child perfect client, is assign someone. Someone has to be responsible for even spelling FISM, as I would say.
Yeah. Right?
So can you spell FISM? Do you crack open the material? Have you gone to the site? Have you started to even get started?
Right.
And then are you going to carry the proverbial torch? Next, from there, and with that assignment, you have buy-in from the business. All this kind of underlining assumptions are clarified and not assumed anymore. Right. I.e. the business knows that you're going to do it. We've all kind of agreed across the board, if you will, that this is something we're going to take on. Since you do have to have that full closed loop between the business and IT, doing an assessment and grading each other and what have you of how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Then step two would be take that assessment. And I'd say that'd be your perfect point to start at once you have that buy-in.
Yeah.
See where we're at.
Yeah, there's a lot of assumptions in this, right? So if you're going to... Step one kind of knocks off a lot of boxes of if you've assigned somebody to take on the FISM role, then you've already decided as a business you're going to follow FISM. It kind of checks more than one box.
It should.
And once you have that role assigned, you got to start from somewhere. And the first one is, let's just see if we can answer these assessment questions. Maybe we're zeros across the board.
Could be. Then you have a zero. But, you can only go up from there.
Right. All that assessment doesn't mean anything other than you've measured yourself.
Right.
And that's already the first great step.
Yeah, don't let it put you down.
Yeah. The exactly. grade doesn't matter. The action is what matters.
Improving from that grade is what matters.
Yeah.
Whatever it actually is, just capture a state. The current state and your future state, and then measure against it.
Right.
Right. Measure against attaining it, hopefully. And you may have bumps and bruises along the way, but at least you can articulate them, see them, and then improve from them.
Right.
And from that, I mean, I've kind of already mentioned it, but start tracking your issues. Like we mentioned before, the number one thing out of a service management framework that places use, even if they don't know they're doing it, is a ticketing system.
Yeah.
Start tracking, get ticketing going. And that in and of itself is its own like beast to really get the ball rolling. But once that gets started, the rest just kind of are much easier to attain.
The FISM program is going to show you how to, like, here are the things you need to worry about when you're asking how to make a ticket. So it's going to give you the data you're going to track.
Right. What field? You need a who and a assigned to and a status and these kinds of things, right?
It can be as low tech as, you know, somebody filling out a paper. Preferably, you're doing this in a system of some kind you already have, whether it's a Google Sheet. I will tell you, I'm going to make Nicole's eyes roll here. But if it's even in Excel,
Google Sheet and Excel are all the same, as long as it's temporary home.
But if you could get to taking advantage of something like SharePoint that can track tasks or Microsoft tasks, there's several different platforms that you probably already have access to.
Basically, create a bucket to capture it all and track it.
Yeah.
For whatever that means.
And if you already have an MSP, maybe talk to them. If they already have an issue tracking system that you can have advantage of, they might just extend what they have to you so you can get started.
Right.
But the point is, whichever path you follow, start tracking.
Exactly. So those would be the three steps to even get started. And then from there, it's more crawling than it is scooting along, if you will.
But every incremental change is a positive change.
For sure. And since this framework gives you a path to continuously improve, if you start with these three things, there's only up from there.
Only.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's the perfect place to get it started, since everyone is actively logging in right now and getting started today, making phone calls. So we should wrap this up so they can start making those phone calls now.
Absolutely.
So, all right, everyone, thanks for listening. We hope you found some value in this conversation. Please join us again next time for more mayhem and misfits.